G'day everyone, welcome to the QSIA podcast series. This is Eric Perez welcoming you back. I told you we'd be back with more content, and so you don't call me a liar, here we are. And so the Queensland Fisheries Reform is steaming ahead, not to the benefit of commercial fishers and in the end the seafood consuming public. And today's guest is a former president of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association, as well as being a net crab and line fisherman in the north of the state. Can I welcome to the podcast Neil Green? How are you, Neil?
I'm very good, Eric, and thanks for this opportunity.
Mate, it's always a pleasure to have a chat to you, mate. So we posted on, and I'm just checking the date here, on the 18th, so the start of this week, an article that you contributed to the Queensland Seafood Magazine titled Trout Quota to be Cut by 17% in the 2021-22 financial year. So before we get into the importance of what that title means for any fishermen in the fishery that we're going to discuss and the gripes that you've got, can I ask you to maybe give us a bit of a background as to the working group, the Reef Line Fishery Working Group to be specific, that you were once associated with and what it's meant to do, and then where things have gone possibly wrong? And I might throw in a couple of questions as we go. So I'll throw it a bit over to you, mate.
Yeah, I was the probably not the last group, but the group before I was part of, thinking that we would be able to get some major changes there and set some precedents there for the up-and-coming new quota fisheries being inshore net and crab. I thought, oh, this is a great opportunity. The reef line's been going since 2004. It's a quoted fishery already. We've got no problems with allocation. All we've got to do is be able to capture all the other accurate catches from other sectors and stuff, and we'll be able to move forward. And but there was just a huge resistance to do that. And it sort of got to the stage where I'm not sure why fisheries had this view, but it just got to the stage where I couldn't continue any longer. So I submitted my resignation to that group, simply because I could not be part of something that was, I felt I was just being used to be there to tick some boxes and not actually get to managing the resource that's so important to me and every other commercial fisherman out there.
Sure. So let's unpack that just a little bit, and without going to names, because this is not what we do, and it's not about this podcast, and it's definitely not what we're publishing. It's not what we're publishing out in the public domain. So these groups are typically made up of different representative organisations, and so correct me if I'm wrong, but in that line fishery working group, you've got people that work obviously for fisheries management, people that represent the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority, recreational fishers, potentially some observers, and representatives from the commercial fishing space. Is that about cover the groups?
Yeah, that's pretty well got it.
Okay, and in that sense, those groups, and including us, I mean, we don't shy away from the fact that we advocate for our interests as well as these other groups. My understanding of the history of that working group, and in effect most of the fisheries working groups that we deal with, are getting heavily lobbied by conservation green groups to minimise our catches irrespective of the science that's there, and potentially impacting on what we can harvest and take to the community versus, for example, not impacting in any way the recreational charter fishers in a particular region. Is that a fair comment, Neil?
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair comment. I would sort of more emphasise the recreational take. There's just a reluctance to go anywhere next to gathering any accurate data on that sector, on what they actually catch. And it just makes it impossible to try and honestly sit there and say that we're developing a harvest strategy to move forward. It's just... And we're only basing it virtually on one set of figures from one sector, being the commercial.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because people often ask what's the aggro, the tension between us and recreational fishers. And I think there's a couple of things that need clearing up. But before I do that, The other group I didn't include in that reef line fishery working group are the charter sector, correct?
Yep. Okay.
Cool. So let's move on to the perennial issue about who gets what component, access to what component of the resource, and then where does it go from there? So in terms of commercial fishing, we have to pay to be able to access the public resource, which is reasonable. How much you have to pay to do that is always up for debate, but we pay for an access right. We don't have a property right. That's a debate we can have on another podcast, but we pay pretty much to access the resource. We have no safety or assurances when it comes to our access. And this discussion around the quota being dialed back is one of those examples of the instability of quota management. And we'll get to that a little later. And that essentially we are managed with regulation and legislation and have been for a long time. And there's not an equivalent level of scrutiny in amongst the recreational sector. Now, when I say that, we're all accessing a public resource. And so we are obliged under legislation to fill out logbooks, to account for what we take and where we take it and how we fish. And now in the recent past, we've had VMS. So Big Brother, state government, however you want to look at it, and you can use your own way of naming that. But basically, we are monitored more so than most industries that I can think of. But the equivalent is not applied in any sense to the recreational sector. Now, before people write any comments on social media that we're whinging, think of it this way. There are possibly at the most 14 or 1500 commercial fishers operating in the state at any one time, but not on a daily basis. If you believe the government figures, which we've come out publicly and we don't, but if you believe that there's approximately 940 odd thousand recreational fishers in the state, and let's say only 10% of that number are out fishing on a daily basis or weekly basis, that's 90 plus thousand that are out there. And again, using smallish figures, if each of those individuals catch a half to a kilo worth of fish, you see where I'm going with this, the amount of impact they have on the resource. But we really don't know what that level of impact is, because the way that the effort of recreational fishing individuals is tracked is by bag limits and then through boat ramp surveys. Is that right, Neil?
It is. And Eric, I'd probably suggest we probably go through that communique at this stage.
Yep.
I can sort of pick out a few things that really really come to my notice and got me hair standing up sort of thing.
Let's do it. And it'll link to this discussion we're having about
what you're saying now.
Yep.
The first thing I'd like to mention, and you've touched on the recreational, I'd just like to say that I've got no problem with legal recreational fishing. My issue is how Fisheries Queensland are managing the fishery as a whole, and the precedent it is setting is having on the other shared fisheries that are about to go into quota, inshore net and crab. So I just wanted to make that statement. I am not against recreational fishing at all. I'm here for the resource that we all share.
And before we go on, Neil, neither is the association. And in fact, for the record, as you've done, for us, it's about a radical minority of groups, not the average mum and dad recreational fisher that's going out there. So just to clarify, mate, just keep going, Neil. Sorry for interrupting.
Well, Queensland Fisheries always throw up the spanner crab fishery as an example of their well-managed quota fishery. The big difference they got there that doesn't never seems to come across is, look, it's prominently a commercial fishery and very easy to manage as that. But when you start looking at these other three fisheries, the reef line, the crab and inshore fishery, the net fishery, then they're all shared. So it's a different ball game. But no one seems to want to change that when it comes to management. And when I was going through that communique, I started reading it. I'll just point to a couple of points here. One was stock assessment estimated the spawning biomass for common coral trout in 2009 at 59% unfished levels, resulting in a total allowable catch of 1,073 tonnes to be built into the stock to 60% spawning biomass. Now, estimated? Please. Surely we can do better than estimate when these estimations are affecting our businesses. We would expect a bit more. You go on in that paragraph and it says, based on the 2020 coral trout stock assessment applying to harvest strategy decision reels, a total allowable catch of 858 tonnes was recommended, a 305 tonne reduction from the TAC of 1,163 tonnes, I should say. Fisheries Queensland advised that the harvest strategy provide a maximum change rule of 200 tonnes, resulting in a final recommendation that the TAC be 963 tonnes for the 2021-22 season. Now, here we're working on estimates here. I was part of a work group when the last time they devalued the quota. And that them decision rules, what they did then was an excellent job at increasing the value of coral trout quota and its lease price at the cost of fishing businesses like myself. The economics is only a part of the equation. Fishermen need to be profitable. And it's pretty simple. If we've got to go out there and buy and lease quota to maintain our profitability because they've dropped the value of it, then all of a sudden, you know, we're in trouble. So it comes at a cost all the time. I look down further in that communique, and it's got the working group then reviewed, updated recreational and charter harvest estimates, again, there's that word, estimates, and noted that they were within sector allocation decision rules. As such, no recreational management changes were recommended. Well, please. And I just make the point here that I've been on these work groups, and I have full confidence in the commercial members that sit there at the moment. But you know what? I've been in this position and there was no way there was ever going to be any other recommendation. It was always going to be that there was no reduction to the recreational. It doesn't matter what argument, what science you put up, that's exactly the standard of this fisheries. Now, I was at the table with the coral reef plan when it was introduced in 2004. I can recall the formula used to come up with recreational bag and boat limits. Since then, it's been well documented there has been an explosion in recreational fishing the reef, and the advances in technology has simplified how to find and catch fish. And yet there's been no review since 2004 of the rec catch limits. We could easily, when I was there, we were pushing to introduce a compulsory reporting of recreational reef catches through a simple app. And this we could have built into this catch we could have built into a harvest strategy, but no, Fisheries Queensland knew better. Without even coming to the table, to the work group I was in and asking, is this the way to go, they decided to do boat ramp surveys. And these surveys were to capture the recreational catch, and that's what they're basing this on. That's just not good enough. And I'm not sure why fisheries were reluctant to capture this accurate data. The rec catch is a very big component of the reef line catch. I don't know if it was a political decision or they just want to manage this fishery through the commercial catch, and that seems to be how they're going. But remember, the majority of the commercial trout caught is caught in 25 metres of water or under. So fish management is only managing that part of the reef, the shallow water reef, and not considering what is caught in the deep water. I just think this is ridiculous. Absolutely. And I did a reef trip 2 weeks ago in the last sort of calm weather. When I arrived at a local boat ramp, and I'm just in a regional town, a small regional town in Queensland, so it was, I just went to the local boat ramp. It's in a little muddy creek. There was 83 recreational reef boat trailers already beat me in the water. There was around 3 to 8 people on board these vessels. So that was 83 boats went out there, and let's just say they only had 3 people on board. Then them 3 fishers out there caught their 7 trout, and that's what we're talking here is a trout. That would equal 1,743 trout that day got caught in this little regional community spot. Now, those trout average 2 kilos each. Remember, the recreational catch limit is by the piece and not by the kilo. We're managed by the kilo. They're managed by the piece. So here we have, they average 2 kilos each. We've got 3,486 kilos from one landing on the along the Queensland coast. Multiply that all the way along the coast and see where we're at. We've got a huge black market problem in this fishery, and we will have it in other fisheries if this is the way management's going to go. And if you just looked at that 3,486 kilos and you multiplied it by bottom price, $20 for coral trout, that was $69,720 worth of trout. And if you divide that into the boats, just on the trout alone, that's $840 per boat of trout got landed here. Now, that's just encouraging black market. Can't they see that? Can't we do something about it? I mean, if that app was designed, was there, put into place that we were pushing for, then we would have, we've got blokes going doing 2 or 3 trips a week. As soon as that app come in, they'll be, the fishery's about to look at it compliance-wise and say, hold on, this fella's done 2 trips, 3 trips. There's something wrong here. Why is he going out and catching so much fish? Boom. All of a sudden, we've probably only got a small margin of wrecked fishers. Most of them buy by their bag limits. Most of them don't sell it, but a small proportion do. But if you start dividing, you know, in 900,000 wrecks, for instance, and started dividing 0.05%, all of a sudden, you know, we've got a hell of a lot of black markets, and that's what we've got. When I was out on the water that day, these boats were talking to each other, and most of them have reached their bag limit of coral trout by 10 o'clock in the morning. The radio was alive with it. So they are out trying to catch their other species. And then fish managers are happy to state recreational harvest estimates of coral trout are within this sector's allocation. What allocation? What are they talking about? To me, this amounts to incompetence in management. And if I could influence the fisheries minister, I would be suggesting he ask some serious questions to this department. Because all I've ever asked for is let's get all the data from all these sectors and let's manage the resource for the future and secure our investments as commercial fishers out there that is being eaten away by bad management. You know, and that's probably the guts of it, Eric.
Look, this has been a good summary of what's going on. I think for anyone listening, they need to go back a couple of minutes to really hear what you're saying. It's there's a level of incompetence and lack of transparency with how this these fisheries are managed that just boggles the mind. And remembering that, you know, we have what the department calls 21st century modern fisheries management. We have nothing of the sort. And unfortunately, some of the questions you bring up, Neil, run into that political space because all parties know where their political allegiance is and it's not to us. So my view on this, and it's a personal one, it's not an association one, but like everyone, we're allowed to have a view. I think until such time as more people get this information, start asking questions of the powers that be, and I mean from the minister down to the department, this will keep happening, and it needs people like you and me and others to have the conversations out loud, because nothing that you've said is not publicly available knowledge. There's just nothing done about it. And it's going to take more drastic measures. And, you know, coming into this industry 10 years ago, people were already talking about publicly shaming and providing videos of the amount of recreational catch that happens along the coast that gets no intervention from fisheries management. And I think part of it is cultural, Neil, and part of it is just resources. There's not enough boating and fisheries patrol to target where we know where the bad eggs are, and not all recreational fishers fall into that namesake. It's more they know that it's happening in the rec sector, but they don't want to deal with it. So we're easier to manage in that way. And the serious policy discussions around this aren't being had. I thought personally, again, personal observation, Neil, that when COVID hit, there'd be more discussions around the security of our resource, particularly when you're talking about the harvesting of the resource that commercial fishermen had got a lot of support through COVID, and we couldn't thank the public enough. And I'm saying thank you on behalf of industry through the worst of COVID, but it seems that the conversation, there was an opportunity missed. And it's fantastic to have a recreational component to our fisheries, but in terms of our food security and the bigger policy questions around fisheries management, aquaculture is not the solution to everything. And that's something that this minister has decided publicly is the way to go forward. We need to keep our commercial fishing fleets active, and quota is not the way. And in based on what you've just said, if the example in the coral trout and spanner crab fisheries are example of good fisheries management, for God's sake, what's coming when these other fisheries go to quota?
Exactly right. And that's always, and that when I withdrew from that work group, that was the main decision. I could just see where we were going with this. But one thing I will say, I don't know one recreational fisher, and I know a lot in the town that are not prepared to be part of future management and report their catch in an app. And I can tell you that when I was on that work group, the recreational guys that were on there were excellent, and they come up with exactly this. Yes, we should be reporting our catch. We need to gather it. But the reluctancy was there. And it comes back to management, and I don't know how far up the chain it goes, but probably needs the minister to step in and say, hold on, we need to get this right, or we're going to have a huge problem. And when you've got conservation groups and Gubrumpa sitting on these work groups, you know, please, surely they are going to say, well, hold on, we can't manage it without this. They need to stand up and back up the commercial sector and say, listen, these fellows are reporting it. It's simple to gather yours. We need this, or it's not a fishery. I mean, fisheries will go back to the EPBC, Environment Protection and Biosecurity Act, and they'll say, we've got to meet certain criteria. Well, I'll tell you what, the first criteria they should meet is that is knowing what each sector catches. And, you know, that's what they're missing.
You just got to stop talking sense, Neil. It's something that's not in the vocab of fisheries management, unfortunately. And look, you won't say it, and I understand why, but I will. It's political. I don't think it's the department. If you take it at face value that Fisheries Queensland, despite some monumental stuff ups over time, are trying to do a job as a regulator, okay, fine, you can leave it at that. I'm not suggesting that there is a conspiracy in that department to try and shut us down, but I think where the rubber hits the road here is the political will to do anything about real reporting. Because at the end of the day, what the minister doesn't want to see is hundreds of active and a few of the total of all recreational fishers, the ones that are actively advocating, saying, if you don't give us what we want, or if you go down that pathway, we fish and we vote. I think that browns the pants of politicians up and down the coast, and they don't want to confront what's there. And if we're talking in real policy terms about getting better fisheries management, what's the harm in actually learning what the recreational sector, what their impact is on the fishery, and more to the point, what their ongoing impact is? Because again, we are dwarfed. I'll say this again for those that are listening. We are dwarfed in terms of the numbers of people that are out on the water. And if you're talking about cumulative impact on the environment, we got nothing on the recreational sector yet. We are the ones that have managed to the point that we're managed. So it beggars belief. And I'm glad we can have a chance to chat about this, because for those listening, aside from all of the good work that Neil's done and continues to do in terms of an advocacy sense, he's out there fishing every day. And it's not just Neil. He speaks with a lot of active working commercial fishermen across the coast. And this isn't confined to North Queensland. This is across the coast and into the Gulf.
I think, Eric, we've got to move past what the political advantage is here with votes and whatever. And I think the only way, if that's the case, to get around that is the federal government needs to step in and say this fishery is not being managed properly. Until that recreational data is captured, and as far as I'm concerned, you leave the bag limits where they are at this stage, you capture what's being caught, we feed it in, and over the next few years, we get the management right. I can't see why you'd want to take 300 ton off the commercial and then say, well, you know, the formula says we can only take 200 ton this year. You know what's going to happen next then. Why wouldn't you just say, well, we've got another sector taking them. We might just reduce them by a fifth like they've done to us, you know?
Yeah, look, you want that and I want that, but all we can do right now, I think, is to make it known that these conversations need to be had. And one thing that I'm eminently proud of in this job, and amongst those that will have that have the time to speak to me, is that we can get these conversations out, which aren't typically had and aren't typically aired in public. And the public has a right to listen to this stuff. And as much as it may not might not be well received by Fisheries Queensland or the minister, I don't really care. We're at a point now where a gentleman that is known to you and me but will remain anonymous has said for the last 30, 40 years we've been fighting what he termed a fighting retreat in fisheries management. Commercial fisheries have been mismanaged for the last 30 to 40 years, and it's a continual downward spiral. And we don't need to become a cottage industry. We are eminently sustainable. Don't believe the hype from the minister or the department around the status of our fisheries. And in those fisheries that may need better management, listen to what I've just said. They need better management. It's not about the commercial fishers in there. It's about those people that are managing the resource. And yeah, there's a lot of questions and more questions to be asked, and we'll keep doing that. Neil, so that's it from me, mate. Any final words before we sign off?
Look, Eric, I'd just say I've still got a small bit of hope that we've got a minister in there at the moment that has the ability to change things. He just needs to get the right advice. He's obviously not getting it from his advisors and his department. And if he had a look at it himself, and then there may be some change, because I'm not going to shut the door on him, because he's the minister and he's got the opportunity right now to hang his hat on having the best managed fisheries in the world. But some changes are needed. That's all I'd say.
Yeah, thank you for that, Neil. It's a positive sentiment to end the podcast. For those listening, I've been speaking to Neil Green, a active commercial fisherman in North Queensland and former president of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association. Thank you for joining us again. We'll catch you all on the next podcast. Thanks, Neil.
Thanks, Eric.